Hey, podcast listeners, you are listening to another episode of Drunk on Comics, episode number 128. Brought to you by Ink Whiskey and InkWhiskey.com.
Well, here we are on another fantastic holiday weekend. So, a happy post-Thanksgiving to you, Kev.
Yeah, happy Black Friday to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Doorbusters!
Man, I'm so tired of Black Friday, like most Americans are. Not because there's an actual... The Friday is supposedly a bunch of big sales, but what's really getting me about this time of the season is the length of the sales all associated with this one day.
That it's more than a 24-hour period.
Yeah, you know, it used to be just a 24-hour window, but now that window is expanded to a week, and what's the...
Well, you know, I think a lot of it, though, is because so much more stuff is going online, you know, that they almost have to try and fight that. But, actually, this is totally unplanned, but I want to give a plug to our good buddy Raven Gregory, who's been a fan of the show and a friend of the show since pretty much day one. You guys know him from Xenoscope, and if you go back far enough, even like The Gift, which he originally self-published and got picked up by Image. Raven just started a new website, and it's theravengregory.com. He's actually got a really cool sale going on this weekend, so you can go check that out. I know there's a link up on our Facebook page, too. But he sent a preview of his new book called Widow's Web, which I know you haven't gotten to see yet, but I read this thing. Holy shit, is that good. I can't wait till it comes out so I can talk more about it.
Okay.
But yeah, I think zero issues, I think, might be available. I know there's prints and stuff like that. It's pretty, it's cool, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, weren't there some other comic book related Black Friday deals?
Yeah, there were. I just figured, you know, there really isn't a whole lot of point in us talking about it, considering that it's not going to go up till the podcast won't be out till Sunday.
There was one company that was offering like a week of Black Friday deals to go, of course, to tie into
our week long Black Friday.
Yeah, exactly. No, I thought Comixology.
A lot of Comixology stuff. Okay. I know DC had stuff. I know Image had stuff. I know Boom Studios has some sales. I know Dark Horse has some sales. I mean, it's like. Which is cool. Like, I'm glad that they're offering sales.
You know, as much as I think most of my gripes are more aimed towards the television commercials, because fuck, do I watch a lot of TV?
I bet
these
you about
days.
It last week. If you advertise doorbuster sales and someone gets injured when people are jamming through, you should be held extremely liable, because you said, hey, we're expecting you to bust down these doors and hurt each other. So.
Man, did you hear about the Walmart from, remember the, in, like, 2007, 2008, people were dying?
Yeah.
Like, because of doorbusters, literal doorbusters?
Yeah.
And there's some, and I didn't read the entire article, but there were, like, imposed fines against Walmart, and they still haven't paid them yet. And they weren't that much, or like, a couple grand.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous, but, man... Happy holidays, brother,
yeah.
Man. It's good to hang out with you on technically a weekday.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also weird because, you know, this is fairly early. You know, normally, you know, we never know exactly what time we're going to record, but this is kind of early. So I'm drinking a nice Kona Brown from Perrin, little local Michigan brewery. And it's got a coffee taste, and yeah, it might be before noon, but you know what? This tastes like breakfast.
Well, I'm drinking from, is it Grand Traverse?
No, it's Mount Pleasant.
Mount Pleasant Brewing, another local fare, something called Trainwreck.
Yeah, which I think I'm going to be later on today. So, very appropriate.
Is that your plan today? Just keep on drinking?
I love day drinking. Are you kidding me? It's like you're all drunk at like 3, everybody's like going about their normal business. You're like, hey! So, all right.
Oh, man.
Kevin, I'm going to kick off the shelf here. I've got actually, I got a number 2 twofer.
Number, I don't know what that means.
I got two number 2s.
Oh, versus our traditional number 1s.
Well, yeah, or whatever, but... And now, I talked about both these books, and I kind of feel a little guilty about, like, talking about books again. I try my best not to.
We do that all the time here, so it's okay.
Well, I try...
Papa forgives you.
I try and at least skip an issue. you know.
Okay.
You know, but this is.
Well, if it's good, it's good, man.
It is,
and you gotta spread the word.
And I'm not gonna lie, this was an odd week for me because not only did I have a short stack of books this week, I didn't have a single comic from either the big two DC or Marvel. Not one.
Really?
Yeah. Not one.
Really? So you're not partaking in the Axis?
No.
You're not.
No, I've decided I'm going to forgo all major event comics.
I vaguely remember you doing this, but that sort of kind of reminds me, similar to, I'm never going to drink again. You know, the day after.
Oh, see, I've never said that.
So I have. Oh, believe me, I've said that plenty of times. Oh, my head, I'll never drink again.
Was one of those days, like, after your birthday when you were trying to pour the beer into your mouth and someone was restraining your arm, so you just poured it and you were lapping up it like a dog as it was falling out of the can?
Can't let beer go to waste, man. Yeah. Even though that can of beer was only, like, $2.50.
I think that can of beer was, like, $1.50. But yeah,
don't waste.
Yeah,
don't waste, folks.
Yeah. So, all right. I'm going to start off with Mimetic, issue number 2 of 3 from Boom Studios, and it's written by James Tynion IV, and Eric Donovan did the art. Colors were Adam Guzowski on here. I'm not actually going to go into a whole lot of detail on this one, but this book,
it looks like a chunky monkey.
That's actually one of the things. You know, it's funny because...
So you got good value here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's great value. I mean, this book was... now, it's $4.99, but it's 48 pages. So you're twice the volume of pages for about, you know, a dollar less than the cost of 2 issues. So, I'm like, all right, cool. I'm fine with this. And it's funny because I know that, like, the last time I talked about it was me and Matt and Tony. And, you know, both of the other guys were kind of sitting there going... Well, you know, I think they could have expanded this into maybe 4 issues or what. And I remember saying, well, hey, look, you know, if there's enough there, maybe they make them a little bit thicker issues. Sure enough, they made it a thicker issue. So the idea behind this book, Kevin, I don't know if you've gotten caught up on this one, is that a meme is released on the internet.
Okay.
Happens every fucking day. We tend to post them ourselves. Sometimes we make a few of them, too. And this had... Good Time Sloth. It's got the sloth with this, like, red and blue spiral, like, 3D effect behind him, and he's just smiling. And it turns people basically into crazy fucking, like, just murderers. 12 hours after they see the meme, they go insane. And more or less what happens here is it reboots the brain. There's something in there that's kind of like, you know, And this kind of stems back to a book I read years ago called Cellular, I think it was,
okay,
from Stephen King, where everybody was on the phone at a certain time, a pulse went out, and our brains are basically computers, and it reboot everything in the brain. Similar idea here, where they see this image, and it causes euphoria, and it makes them happy, and while they're concentrating on this, shit's going on in the background, and 12 hours later, boom, the switch flips, and... All of a sudden, anyone that's not like them, they go and kill. You know, they call them screamers in this because people are just screaming and, like, murdering people that haven't been affected yet. So, the reason I wanted to bring this up, one, is the social commentary on it. I talked about it a little bit the last time. Memes and the internet have taken over our lives. I mean, and in part, I'm thankful for that because otherwise we wouldn't be doing what we're doing right now. But... The downside of it is people become zombies and they, you know, and I could actually be hurting listenership by saying this, you know, people need to separate themselves and get back into the real world sometimes. And this book, even though that's not the main focus of it, it's an underlying commentary. At least that's how I interpreted it. And so I like what's going on here with the book. It makes you think, and it makes you think about your own personal life. There's a lot of books out there that can't figure out how to do that. You might be able to relate to characters, you might be able to, you know, to maybe enjoy the artwork and fantasize, but a lot of them don't actually make you step back and look at your own personal life. And I think that's why this book has been so powerful for me, even though, you know, it's 2 issues in of a 3-issue story. there aren't a lot of places where you're going to get that. TV, movies, radio, books, whatever it may be. So that's kind of my first thing. You're looking at me like you want to say something. You're holding back.
Yeah, I am. So you're saying you're receiving this message, but are you changing anything in your life and the way you look at the internet or social media?
You know, I've been, maybe one of the reasons that this book speaks to me so much is I've been trying to separate myself from being that you know, smartphone zombie, where all you're doing is you got your head down and you just keep aimlessly walking, going, you know?
Oops, fell in a fountain.
Yeah. So I'm going to sue them all. Oh. But, you know, I think this is really good because social media, the internet, all that, they're fantastic tools, but just like anything else, too much of a good thing is a bad thing.
Sure. Absolutely.
And, you know, so I think this is one of those books. I do want to say that the artwork by Donovan in here is absolutely fantastic. Here, Kevin, let me give this to you. I'm hogging the book, and you haven't had a chance to see it yet. It's scratchy, and it's a little dirty, and that's what I said before, and I like it that way. Because this is a very real-world event, and you don't want it being too crisp and clean in something that is a very dark... It's not necessarily even a dark story as much as it's a dark scenario, I should say, because I think that the characters that are in here are very good, strong characters that do a good job at showing all of the positives that human beings can have. So, you know, overall, I definitely want people to go out and give this book a look. Please try and find issue one. You know, if you see issue two on the shelf, grab it. If you can't find issue one, I know that you can get this on Comixology. And I think you can probably order these books. You might even be able to order them from Boom Studios' website themselves, too. So that's Mimetic number two. And then also, number two is from Images, Rasputin. And this is written by Alex Grecian. Riley Rossmo is the artist. Colors were Ivan Placencia. And I brought this one up the last time because the last book, if I'm remembering my numbers correctly, it has... The entire comic book had 28 total word balloons or dialogue boxes.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. This one here actually has a lot more script in it, but there's definitely pages where it's almost entirely, if not entirely, told visually. Riley Rossmo and Alex Grecian have made one of the best pairs in comics as far as creators that I've ever seen. It's fantastic how these two can work together and tell a story so visually, but yet at the same time...
Oh, yeah, there's absolutely no... There's hardly any words in this book.
Yeah, but the words are there when they're important, and that's the big thing, because, you know, a gripe that I've always had about comics is that sometimes the writer gets a little too wordy and, you know, doesn't allow the artist to help convey the story as much when it can be done in a much more simple and powerful way there. This book, while it's very Spartan as far as the dialogue and the words, this is one of the most complete stories I've ever read in my life. And absolutely fantastic. You guys definitely have to check this out. It's smart. And if you know anything about the, you know, the historical figure of Grigori Rasputin, this is loosely based on historical facts. And so check this one out. You guys won't be disappointed. I mean, for the artwork alone, it's worth it. But
it's beautiful. I mean, I almost went through the whole thing while you were talking about it. And that was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. You know what I mean? Like, these two books, they're very different, you know, in the fact that... Now, I don't know if Rasputin is ongoing or not. I really should actually check that out. But, you know, you're both at a number two issue, and normally number twos are probably the hardest of all to jump into because you don't necessarily know what's going on. But both of these books, while one definitely has a ton of dialogue and is dialogue-driven, the other is visually driven, both of them are very encapsulated and can bring you into that story. So... Give them both a shot, and even if you can't find number one, screw it. Just grab it and you know, run with it. So that's what I got for right. For off the shelf. My number two twofer.
Well, I'll tell you, I went in a little bit different direction. Because you mentioned you didn't really have any Marvel DC titles on your pull. And I had a couple. Letter 44. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give an early last call for everybody. Even a couple Spider-Man titles. I normally pick them up. And those were good, too. But what I did is I went into Comixology, and if you're not aware, new listeners, that I've been away for a while. I have a new kid at home. Time is...
The first kid.
My first kid, yeah.
Yeah, so I think the first ones, whether they deserve it or not, they get more attention than the second kid and the third kid.
Yeah,
and the fourth.
Well, this one needs attention all the time. So much attention. But... So my time is pretty limited. So what I did this week is that I went to the bottom of the barrel to find some books this week. So I went to Comixology, and I looked up some books. And listeners, I would love to hear some feedback. I use an Android platform. Love to know if anyone has an issue that, similar to what I have, Derek. I don't know if you've ever had this issue where there's preview panels. You pull up a book, you can read the summary, and you get three pages to look at. And half of them, those preview pages wouldn't load, or you'd only get one of three. And so that was kind of frustrating. Some of the other ones I pulled up didn't really blow me away, but so I kept on going down the list and down the list and down the list. And then we get to books I've never even heard of before. And I brought some of those to the table before. And, man, there's some good ones down there. So,
you know, there's one of our writers, and it's been a while. I know he's been swamped with his own projects, which, you know what? Hey, actually, I'm gonna interrupt, and I apologize, but...
No. That's fine. My reviews suck, so anytime you can do to spice them up, it's great.
I just, you know, it's Thanksgiving weekend, and the one thing that I want to give thanks for, there's two in particular, actually, I should say, that are, I think...
You're not even halfway through your beer, and you're getting teary-eyed on
No, this is legit.
Sentimental?
This is legit. Number one, everybody that's helped out with our podcast, you know, whether it's been... You know, people spreading the word, our writers, and actually this is where it came from, and I'll come back to the writers here in a second.
Okay.
You know, our contributing writers that we've had that take time out of their personal lives to write reviews for our website, you know, and help give content to us. Are you smiling because of the deep fryer?
I hear a deep fryer in the background. It's make me smile.
Yeah, yay, fried food. But, you know, but then also everybody that's out there that's a listener, whether, you know, you're a quiet listener and you've never dropped a note to us on Facebook or Twitter or through email, to the ones that are out there that are promoting us over and over and over again. So that's my Thanksgiving thing. Full circle, to come back to digging up bottom of the barrel, one of our writers actually... went out, and I think it was right after San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
They had a huge thing on Comixology where for a pittance of dollars, you could get like 100 like just comics off there.
Sure.
You know, and it was all indie stuff. And he went through and he reviewed so many of them for our site, and it was really cool to see what he found, what he liked, and actually I ended up picking up a few of those because of his recommendations. So I like this aspect that, you know, sometimes you call it the bottom of the barrel, but it might not be the bottom of the barrel.
You just got to
dig farther to find the good shit.
Well, yeah, but you got to dig into the proverbial barrel. My comment of bottom of the barrel doesn't mean that anything about its quality or whatnot. It's literally at the bottom of the list of Comixology.
So no
disrespect to them, especially, well, and obviously you can't have any because I'm going to be mentioning you on the show.
Well, okay, so let me ask you, when you were digging, were you like, you know, Were you in, like, just reach your hand in a little bit? Were you up to your elbow, or were you all the way into the shoulder digging into that barrel?
No, I probably had to roll up. I rolled up my sleeve, man. I'm getting dirty, man. I actually did read a few. Now, there were a couple that, honestly, I paid the nominal fee. Read probably about half of it, and I'm like, not gonna cut it. So that happened. That happened a few times. But here's three that I want to mention.
Okay.
So first one is called Super Number One. And it's written by Joshua Crawler, and art by Bruno Chirulo, and it's by a company called J. Crow Comics.
Okay.
Okay. Brief description of that is that you have a normal person who's a farmer, who's come into some extraordinary powers, and there's a world event similar to what's happening in the Middle East. And he's like, okay, I could do petty crimes and the occasional few and far between supervillain, but I want to make a big difference. And he wants to do that in, well, not necessarily the Middle East, but I mean, I'm just drawing a comparison. It's an interesting story. You get a lot of pages for the buck. That was a nice read. Kind of a serious tone. Another one was called NYPD Weird, Number One.
Okay.
Written by Mark Sizemore, art by Dave Kennedy, and colors by Nicola Anderson. And this was made by a company called Doghouse.
Doghouse.
Okay.
Is that one word or two?
It was one word that I saw. Okay. Now, this book is, you have a department of agents, and they all have their own mix of superpowers. And, of course, they have to fight supernatural crime in New York City. Obviously, NYPD, but...
What? Oh, it's not New Jersey? Shit. Oh, now I'm confused.
So that's an interesting idea, that you have a normal, like, police force with supernatural powers going after, up against the people with supernatural abilities in a nice, organized manner. That was an interesting read, and I think that they executed that book pretty well. One I'll talk a little bit more in depth about, however, is a book called Evil Inc. or Evil Incorporated. And dude, what are you doing over there?
I'm just live tweeting. Evil Inc. I can like do two things at once. Dude, it's all about the twofers this weekend.
Man, you are amazing, because honestly, I got like, so we're in our favorite sports bar. I got like 8 televisions around here. Sensory overload. I mean,
the worst part for you is that because this is early, Price is Right was on, and you are the Price is Right king.
I do love me some bidding. I really do. Fuck, man. I need to get me some of those blinders, you know, like the horses wear.
Oh, no, you just need Google Glass so you can walk around watching the... Oh, wait, no.
Dude, I'm going to be like a person who's going to be falling into the fountain.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, never you mind. Talking about. You need to separate yourself from the technology. And I'm bitching about it while I'm live tweeting.
Oh my god.
And actually, my tweet right now is going to be live tweeting the podcast.
TV off. My gosh. Okay, so Evil Incorporated, issue number 14, written in art by Brad Geiger, and this is done by Greystone in.
Okay, Greystone. Cause, okay, gray is one of those words that I never know if it's with an A or an E.
E.
Okay.
Greystone Inn Comics.
No.
Okay, so for 99 cents, you get 38 pages.
All right, that's actually pretty decent.
Yeah. And okay, so help me out. I'm going to pull this up here. And
oh, is this is the one you showed me earlier?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's I don't know. I mean, it seems to me like he has this in a physical form. But I'm looking at how the pages are on my browser.
It comes up like two comic strips.
Yeah. It you does. Know, it's it'd be interesting if it was actually in a physical print, because then, god damn it, how expensive would this book be in a physical form? Because you get so many pages.
Well, it depends on you know, a number of things on that one, honestly. Oh, okay. Actually, wait. I see now. Here's why I'm live tweeting, because I looked up Geiger. What was his first name? Was it Anthony? Shit.
Oh, I'm horrible. I'm flipping back and forth because I got my notes in digital. Brad.
Brad. Okay. So while I'm live tweeting, I'm looking up these people.
Okay.
And so, you know, I go and look. And he's an editor at webcomics.com. And so I'm wondering if this is a weekly web comic that's collected.
Well, it is from because in the book he talks about loosely. He has some dialogue within the pages. It kind of infers that's the case. I didn't have much time to research to figure out what it is. Okay, here, I'll just read it to you. It's unlike any other web, any other comic you've downloaded to your tablet, and here's why. This comic features all of the Evil Inc. comic strips scheduled to appear later this month.
Okay, so they are strips.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You know, and the thing I like about the artwork in here is it's slightly animation. Like animation style, it's slightly Sunday cartoon, it's slightly anime. There's like, you know, there's a lot of different influences in here. And I will say, digitally, the colors on that thing fucking pop, man.
Oh, yeah, they do. It really pop. Some nice lines. It's just really smooth on how he's done this.
Yeah.
And so in this issue number 14, the primary story, this is really kind of two parts, but the first part I would mention is that you have a primary character who's evil, surprise, her name is called Lady Lightning.
Okay.
Okay. And she has contacted, apparently this is my take on this, that she has contacted a company called Evil Inc. And is trying to actually hire goons, henchmen, and lackeys.
Yeah.
No. Hey, you can get another one.
Oh. Hey, Anna. Grab another one, please. Yeah, Kevin, you ready?
I say we're not making any secret what we're doing here.
You ready for another one?
I'll have a small one.
And a small one for Kevin.
The Kona.
Oh, he wants the same as me.
Yeah.
Breakfast beers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude, I don't want to have another tall one, which these are what, 23 ounces?
I think these are 25 ounce ones.
Okay, so I don't want to have a big one because
you got a kid.
Well, no, you no, take no, care no, of it. No, is because I haven't had much to drink lately.
Oh, that's right.
Are
you still breastfeeding? That's awesome.
Very important that I don't get that into his system.
Yeah.
Dude, I make fun of myself.
I feel bad for the Evil Inc. review right now because we're ruining
no,
it.
No.
Thanks, Anna.
You're welcome. No.
So I feed him. I don't feed him, but he wants to feed. And I'm like, you know, I thought about having him latch on, to my bosom. But I know he would just be like take out a hair.
It just reminds me of that Family Guy episode.
Oh yeah. Brian's Stewie. Yeah, Stewie's being fed by Peter.
No.
So sorry, Brian. Your book's awesome. I mean, seriously, that's why we're talking about it.
Well, no, Brad.
Brad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my family. All
right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
okay, so
I actually am curious about this book because this is one that I think I might actually have to go buy myself.
Yeah, you really should because the jokes are clever. Some of them are fall a little flat, but you know what? We appreciate even some flat jokes. We have some puns. This is definitely up Drunk on Comics Alley.
Okay.
It really is. And so you have Lady Lightning. She's hired a bunch of goons and lackeys. But where it actually goes to in the first collection of strips is that it kind of center stage is one of the lackeys.
Okay.
He has a game plan to eventually move up the ranks from lackey
now, does
to
this,
super criminal.
Does this happen? Because I just quickly flipped through. Does this happen to be the chubby Superman looking guy?
No, different. That's
okay.
Mr. Impossible. I believe that's the guy in the purple tights.
No, not that guy.
Well, there was another guy like way later because there are two distinct stories going on here. Because you have the first 12 to 15 pages is one story, and then pages like 18 and on is a completely different story.
That guy.
The Superman old guy.
Yeah,
with a coffee pot in his hand.
Yeah, and a beer gut. Like I liked that guy. I'm like, yeah, he's my hero.
But
so
they had a lackey. He's trying to grow up, go through the ranks. So it's an interesting kind of perspective on something that I've always thought about. Okay, I think I'm a big Batman fan back in the day. And I'm talking about the television show.
Like the animated? No, like the Adam West.
66.
Okay.
Talking about 66. So, Joker hires these goons, and these, you know, they're either in Joker makeup or the Riddler. They give a t-shirt to his lackeys, and he's just big question marks on him.
You notice Catwoman never had, like, I don't remember Catwoman having cat lackeys.
No, I don't remember that either. But you know what's funny? All that shit is referenced within this book.
Nice.
It's cool, but yeah, it makes you think like, okay, yeah, they were lackeys, but okay, so how do they get hired? And what about
temp services?
That's what I'm talking about. And then they talk about what do they do when they're not lackeying or being goonies. They go to a bar afterwards, like the local goon bar.
Oh, man, we gotta find that bar.
Dude, you know, something like that exists.
What?
Man, it's just you gotta go to the sketchy part of town.
Oh, well, you know, yeah, okay, yeah. No, that's a different kind of, that's a different kind of bar. Yeah, I want the superhero lackey bar.
But there's a lot of that, and then there's talk about the lackeys, but there's also talk about the Lady Lightning and her own personal struggles with finding a man, because the men always want her to change because of your scantily clad clothing, and no, you should give up the life of being evil, you should go to good. I don't know, there's just lots of fun in here, and with some decent character development, I thought, in a way. But and then honestly, then there's another big story arc going on. I'm gonna leave some...
Yeah, you got to leave me a reason to go buy it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, definitely, because I left you a whole other story to talk about, or to read and think about. But that's... Yeah, Comixology, Evil Inc. number 14. Yeah, you go, I think, probably... I found it probably about seventh from the bottom.
Okay, so here... Well, actually, you know, if you just search Evil Inc., I'm sure you'll find it, but...
Sure.
Here's the question. Are you going to go back and buy 1 through 13, or are you just going to keep reading from...
Well, I downloaded 13.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I haven't read it, because I was... I mean, I spent a lot of time reading what I did. And so, I mean, I have it. I'm hoping for another business trip here soon. So I can... seriously, that business trips are... Now is the time where I can catch up on some serious backlog reading. Like, this last trip I took, I read a few more trade paperbacks of The Sixth Gun.
Oh, good.
Which, you know, so, I mean, that's why I brought up Lobo last week.
Yeah.
Because Colin Bunn
is
fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's so good. And so...
You know, like, he's one of those writers that continues to just fucking put out awesome quality shit. And he can do... pretty much anything. He can do, you know, your Deadpools and your Lobos, but he also has his own creator-owned shit. And I think he's a little, you know, underappreciated.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, if you consistently put out your good work, you will get noticed.
Yeah. I know he does get some attention. I just think he deserves way more than he gets. But, that's off the subject.
Sure.
So,
because we're always... on topic, 100% of the time.
Hey, we have structure. It's just a free-flow structure. You know, like, technically those wacky wiggly arm guys at the car lots, they have structure too. But they're always in motion. So, let's move on to a little news and notes, shall we?
Sure, why not?
I'm going to bring something up that was not discussed pre-show with you, because I just remembered this. You remember the big hoopla over the Spider-Woman variant cover?
My local comic book shop told me that they had a copy.
Yes,
they were going to sell me a copy for $100.
Yeah, yeah. They are a variant, and it's like 1 in 50 or 1 in 100. And what I remember, like, here's my thing. Why I'm bringing it up? I remember Marvel saying that they weren't going to release that cover because of scheduling issues.
No, yeah, the scheduling issue.
But then, Spider-Woman number one comes out a little over a week ago, and they have the regular cover.
Wait.
It was a week and a half ago it came out.
Wait, I thought it actually made its way, the one with the ass.
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't published?
No, it was. They were saying it wasn't going to be published because of scheduling issues. As I remember, and I'm like, that seems weird, because the cover's done, we've seen it, so, anyway, it came out, and the only thing I want to bring up is how they placed the logo. If you haven't seen it, just go look up the Spider-Woman cover. I think one of the big problems was the gaping space between her butt cheeks.
Which has been, you know, the male counterpart. It's happened to him quite a few times.
Yeah, but so they released it, and they put the Spider-Man logo across her ass.
Woman.
Or Spider-Woman. Well, that would have been even funnier if it was Spider-Man.
That's fine. This show's riddled with errors, so it's okay.
Well, yeah, so they did release it. It's out there. I think it's like maybe $80 at my shop. You know, but it's a variant, and it's 1 in 50 or 100 or whatever. So,
but is it gonna? How much is that really gonna be worth 20 years from now? 5 years from now?
1 month from now?
Yeah, because it's old news. And besides, are you gonna pull that up 10 years from now and be like, oh, you remember the story that was
the only reason?
You know what you do? Is you okay? So we're on time.com.
Yeah.
What you almost have to do is you almost have to print this article, put it in the back of your bag and board.
Well, you might want to put it in something else because your paper might not be acid free, and you don't want it to ruin your.
We have nothing but the best of the best in the Kevin household.
Oh yeah,
nothing but the best.
Actually, no. Just bag it and board it separately. Just put it next to that.
Or just laminate it.
Oh, there you go. No, laminating ruins the, oh, dude, the potential value of the actual printed article from that day. If you laminate, you ruin it. Collecting tips, kids.
Wow, that's crazy, man. I honestly thought that was already released when that news hit.
Yeah.
So they were not even talking. God, that blows my mind. And it also clearly tells me that I don't read articles thoroughly enough.
Okay.
My pre-show prep sucks.
Well, that one I didn't give to you, though. Like, I mean, like that one I
didn't. Oh, no. It goes, because that goes back to a month or two ago? It was like 2 months ago this set.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right, man. What we got next? I mean, you want to talk some Star Wars?
Star Wars. And I can pretty much guarantee good old buddy Jay over at An Elegant Weapon, he's got the biggest, like, you know, lightsaber boner going on right now that he could have.
He is just dry splooging right now.
it's just force dust coming out. Which, wait, force dust, is that like pixie sprinkles? Anyway.
I don't know if it's going to make it fly, but...
Yeah. So Star Wars The Force Awakens, as of this morning, the official trailer is out.
Which I even got duped this morning. I thought I saw the official trailer.
With Yoda sleeping and the alarm clock goes off because The Force Awakens?
There were some teaser trailers that I saw. Actually, I saw after the... what I thought was the actual trailer, but it was probably the fan made one that Lucas on Twitter kept on saying over and over again, like, no, we'll release the real thing on Friday. Don't worry.
Yeah. Now, did you see any of them that ended with you getting Rickrolled?
No, I didn't.
I got a couple of those.
Oh, you did? Yeah. I read. I did see the. There's an article, you know, that I picked up where. They're talking about Lucas was calling people's attention to these fan-made ones. And then later they go on and go, yeah, there's a bunch of Rickroll ones at the end.
There, our good buddy Jay Shimko definitely posted one of those, which, you know, it was way too early and I saw it. And I'm like, I wouldn't even bother opening this except for Jay is typically good for a laugh, if nothing else. And I know
Jay's fucking hilarious.
Well, and I know he's a big Star Wars fan, which I'm like, this seems like way too much of a setup, but it'll be worth it. And sure enough, it was total Rickroll setup, and I was like, I appreciate that from him. So,
dude, that's Rickrolling, man. It's due for a comeback.
I don't think Rickrolling is ever going to go away. But so,
dude, okay. So you brought up trailers. Did you see the trailer for Jurassic World?
Yeah, I did.
Oh my god, dude! I haven't watched a trailer that many times ever.
Well, and you know what's funny is that I saw it. I think I watched it yesterday, and I don't know what channel it was at my parents, but it was Jurassic Park like all day. They just kept showing all three movies in a row.
What do you think of the third one?
I still haven't made it through it.
That's an okay movie.
I've made it. I love the first one. The second one, it's all right.
Yeah. Too much children.
And the third one, I start to watch it and I fall asleep every time. It's like, I think from now on.
It's like the 2001. That's my movie. I always fall asleep.
2001.
2001 and Blade Runner.
Doom, 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 doom. Yeah. Yeah. No, Jurassic Park 3 starts and I'm like. All right, I'm going to watch this. All right, here's the crut.
No, man, Jurassic World, I'm so fucking stoked for. And I don't want to actually read much more about it, because there's so much mystery involved in the movie. You're like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the hell is happening? Is this 50 years in the future? Is it 100 years in the future? I mean,
is it 1996 again? You know.
Is it a what if movie?
Oh, yeah. My God.
Oh. All right.
Back to some Star Wars stuff. You know.
Okay.
So there's a Slash film that is reporting a rumor, or rumoring a report. I don't know exactly how you say it, but that there's another Star Wars animated series in the works right now. And basically, from, you know, it's like, you've got Star Wars Rebels, which we know has already come out,
yeah.
But this one is basically saying that it's going to come out around the time of Star Wars The Force Awakens. And the thing that I saw in this one article on comicbook.com that I thought was cool was it makes sense because the Star Wars Rebels, it leads up to the point that The Force Awakens happens, so there's only so much that they can do without cross-lapping or having some kind of divergence from what's actually happening there. So this new cartoon could actually pick up somewhere in there or post The Force Awakens or whatever. So, I don't know. It's kind of cool to think that, hey, maybe there's more shit coming. But it's Disney. Of course there's more shit coming. You know, I mean, they're kind of smart on that.
Well, yeah. Dude, they got the deal of the early century. Honest to God, man.
By buying Marvel?
Lucasfilms, man.
I know.
Fuck. Dude, what did they pay? Were they paid $4 billion
for it? Yeah, I don't know. And they probably made that back their first weekend. Hell, they made it back on Black Friday.
No, man. Discounts are too low.
Oh, no.
Too many door busters.
Oh, they should have Sith busters. All right.
I don't know what that means.
Well, and actually, you know what? Stormtroopers should have door busters because otherwise they hit their heads on them in episode 4. Wah, wah. All right. So, Kevin, you and I talked about, it was last week, about the Valencia soccer team, or for the rest of the world, the football team, that they had a bat in their logo that DC went, no, this is too much like Batman because it's a bat. And so anyway, apparently they have decided to forego using that logo. And there was one thing I do need to note. Apparently there was no formal lawsuit. There was just an objection.
An objection, yes.
Which we all know would eventually have led to a lawsuit if they really wanted to.
You know, what was fascinating about this article that we pulled up, and we pulled this up on foxsports.com, is that it actually points out that the bet over the crest of the Valencia FC soccer team has been around since the 20s.
1922. And
whereas Batman didn't debut until the 30s. Late 30s.
Yeah, 39.
Yeah, so,
you know, here's the whole thing, though. I'm sure DC has more money to throw at lawyers than Valencia's football team does.
Maybe? I don't know. It's tough to say.
Well, it's Warner Brothers.
Yeah, it's public. Yeah, they are publicly traded. So they, but no, I mean, dude, I think you underestimate how big European soccer is.
Yeah, but
European football.
European football, yeah. So no, anyway, so they're not going to use it. But
yeah.
So I think I'll just wonder.
Yeah,
I think
I know. I'm wondering what are they going to do in its place? Probably just rip the bat out.
I don't know, but I think I'm going to try and find me a high res JPEG of that and have a buddy of mine make me that t-shirt. Yeah, and I'm not saying that Daw apparel.
Well, the other thing that I don't get is why are they, so they're just going to go back, they don't explain this, is, are you just going to go back to the old logo? That's probably what they should do, is just go back to the old logo.
Well, I don't know, who knows, maybe they'll just start coming up with it, but I do want to say, though, if I was going to have a t-shirt made up of that and it was legal, I'd probably go to dawapparel.com and have them do that because that's where they do our Drunk on Comics t-shirts.
You mean DAW?
DAWapparel.com.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So, and if you guys, it's Christmas. If you want to buy a Drunk on Comics t-shirt for somebody for Christmas, I would suggest you go to dawapparel.com.
Wow. You would you would be...
I'm a soliciting whore. That's what that is.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. But, man, you would be tops in amongst your recipients' gift givers.
Everyone else would feel stupid because they got you, like, you know, a Rolex. And they're like, oh, my God, you got me drunk on count. I need to go buy you a Porsche now because what I got you is not nearly enough. That's how that would work. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Drunk on Counts t-shirts? Oh, look. It's Black Friday chaos in England. They don't even have the same Thanksgiving we do. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Jesus. Yeah, but you know what? They like deals.
Are they rioting because we separated from them? Is that why they have Black Friday? Yeah. Oh, and gun sales.
Gun sales on Black Friday. Friday?
Jeez, all right. Man. Let's finish. let's have a few more beers and let's go buy some guns.
so, all right. What's next? I think we've talked about two things so far.
Yeah. No, I think we may have gotten to three. The comic book Drafted, which was originally published by Devil's Due back in 07, or '07, as Kevin and I like to call it.
Come on.
Is actually coming back to the comic book world, but also Bender Spink Productions has gotten a deal to develop this comic book series into a full-length motion picture. So keep your eye out on this. Bender Spink, we mentioned a couple weeks ago, signed a deal with Aspen to develop Five Ghosts for the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
So,
dude, why does Devil's Due Publishing ring a bell? Why should that ring a bell for me?
I don't know. Maybe because of Dirk Manning.
That's maybe has something to do with that.
Yeah, because of like Mercy Sparks and and I like that weird little. That weird little comic, what is it? Is Mr. Ree, Tales of Mystery, is that is Devil's Due.
That's why I'm thinking that it sounds familiar.
See, I'm afraid of saying 100% yes, but...
Yeah,
but now...
But, I mean, you are, but wait, it's not a household name. I mean, that's...
Well, no, but Devil's Due, like Mercy Sparks is their big one, Josh Blaylock. Awesome book there, and then damn it, I'm gonna look this up now because you're gonna make me freak out if I don't. See, it's like live tweeting, except I just don't know what I'm doing. Okay, so yeah, so
our crack team of analysts are on holiday vacations, so we have to do it ourselves.
Yeah, our crack team of analysts. No, it's our analysts that are on crack. There's a difference.
So they never show up.
Yeah. So, okay, so let's see. Devil's Due did Tales of Mystery, at least the first volume. The current volume, if not the first. And the second issue is going to be the most sought-after issue of that four-issue series because I get killed in that one.
I knew going into this we were gonna somehow get Dirk Manning involved in this episode.
It's Dirk on Comics. Okay, I got a couple X-Men tidbits. Oscar Isaac has been cast to play Apocalypse in the new X-Men film coming up. And there's nothing more really to say about that right now.
Boring. Boring. Did you see that Kia car?
That was the second thing. The Kia car, I'm really curious about this one.
Okay,
it's a Kia Sorento.
Yeah, which is kind of a small SUV. Some might call it a crossover.
But it can't cross over much because its clearance is too low. It can cross over some twigs. But anyway.
Some soggy grass.
Yeah. You know, as long as it's not too soggy, it doesn't sink too far.
It's decked out in, I would say, a theme relevant to the current X-Men.
Well, yeah, no, it's for Australia. They're like tied in with the promotion of the Blu-ray for X-Men: Days of Future Past, yeah. And it's basically it's a Wolverine looking X-Men car. But my one question on this:
And your one question about this car
is, how does the back hatch open up? Because there seem to be adamantium claws that stem up from the bumper over the hatch in the back. Because if that thing comes down, that's just a fucking hazard. You know, but it can't be attached to the bumper, but it looks like it is.
Well, you know what, though? If those claws
Retractable?
Well, that'd be tits, but I'm thinking if they just fold down, then it prevents people from tailgating you.
That is true. And if you fold it down, you can just put pieces of meat on it and then back it over a campfire, and you got like a whole new way of grilling and tailgating.
Sure. It makes me wonder, is titanium, would that be food safe? Or adamantium?
Oh, I'm sure adamantium would.
It would be, okay, so that is a food grade style metal?
This is a total off subject, but let's say that you cut off a huge chunk of Wolverine before he lost his healing factor and got killed, but you just slabbed off a chunk of him. Could you actually be able to cook it, or would it just constantly keep going back to rare?
You mean uncooked?
Yeah, would it go back to uncooked?
Boy, why would you want to even try?
Well, like, I don't know. Like,
I've been meaning to get into cannibalism.
Yeah. By the way, if you ever decide
that would be an interesting question.
If you ever decide to start getting into the cannibalism side, don't eat clowns. They taste funny. You wanted puns, Kevin. Oh, there you go. All right.
I don't think it's a matter of me wanting them. I think it's just a matter of when you're going to give them to me.
Do you hear about the cannibal who passed his friends in the woods?
No, I didn't.
Just think about it. Because he passed his friends in the woods. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Last news I got is there's a book out, and it's basically like a coffee table book celebrating the 30 years of Voltron, which that makes me feel really fucking old. The Voltron's been around for 30 years.
Really? See, it doesn't make me feel that old, because I remember when I have to get up at like 5:30 in the morning to watch this.
Oh, this was a 4:30 cartoon for me. 4:30 in the afternoon. Or a 4 o'clock.
Oh, really? No. Yeah. For me, it was first thing in the fucking morning.
Okay, this... Because we're really structured, I'm getting off topic. So, when I was... You know, I remember, I would get home from school, and I was a latchkey kid.
Okay.
You know, both mom and dad worked.
Yeah.
And I remember that, they're like, okay, you have to do this, this, and this, and this, and there's no TV until I come home. So, I would watch... You know, I'd watch TV and then shut it off right before they got home, and of course these are the old tube style
and they're still popping
in the cabinet, and my parents figured out, they would walk in, and they're like, "Were you watching TV?" I'm like, "No, I wasn't watching TV," and they'd walk over and feel the side of the TV and it's warm. And they're like, "How come this is hot?" I don't know. Maybe there's a short in the circuitry.
I came home and it was on.
Yeah.
And I immediately turned it off and read a book.
The dog was sitting there watching it. I was like, no, dog, you can't watch TV. That's bad. So anyway, go check out this book if you guys love Voltron.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's a great article. And this was on, what is this, Comic Book Resources?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a nice article from the people who are writing about the book. Definitely worthwhile checking it out here.
Yeah. Okay, so I got a couple more things before we wrap up, because, I keep derailing our train of thought. But Indy Turnpike this week, I've got Butterfly number 3 of 4 from Archaea Comics, which is a label through the Boom Studios. And this is, the story is by Arashamel. It's written by Marguerite Bennett, illustrated by Stefano Simeone, and colors by Adam Guzowski, who also did the colors on, which one was it, that he did the colors on Mimetic as well. So, you know, apparently this guy knows what the fuck he's doing because I'm reviewing two of his books this week. But Butterfly, very simply, is espionage at its finest. By the way, the covers are by Phil Noto on this. And I have to give a special shout out to the covers because what most people are only going to see is the front cover. But on all of these books, when you flip them over, there's a back cover that actually ties in as a double page spread. But it's not.
That's a fine, fine line.
Yeah.
Fine transition between the characters.
They could be two separate covers, but when you open them up, every single issue has been like this, where you have half the cover with the Butterfly name and logo running down along the side, okay, the other one then on there. So fantastic fucking covers. But if you like espionage, if you like just the deep, dark, dirty shit that government agencies can do, this is the book that you guys need to pick up. Go buy it. I can't get into a whole lot of detail on this book because just like what's going on in here, if these characters gave too much detail away, they'd have to kill you. So, but it's information that you want. And it's a story that you want. So go buy Butterfly. That's Indie Turnpike for this week.
Am I seeing something about booze in the book?
You are seeing something about booze in a book.
Yeah, because I see what you're looking at. This is one of the things that I was going to preview.
Yes.
But it didn't come up on Comixology, so I just passed on it.
Well, there might be a reason that it didn't come up on Comixology, Kevin, and I'm going to show you why.
No, it came up, but just the preview panels didn't come up.
Oh, well, the preview panels might not have come up, because there is an 8-page spread.
I'm happy I didn't download this on Comixology then.
Yeah, and the other half goes out too, but I don't have arms long enough.
No, I'm gonna come out. Holy, this is the longest comic book ever.
8-page fold-out spread on the inside. Holy, but here's the creepy part, Kevin. Look at all the detail. Oh, by the way, if you haven't figured it out, it's Odyssey, ODY, written by Mac Fresh.
Sorry, Derek, I'm ruining your book.
Yeah.
Looking at all these pages. Fucking, you got a star map, too?
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, this, which you'll understand when I get to why I'm using this for booze in a book. There's a star map, there's a timeline in here. Odyssey, by the way, is from Image Comics, and this is written by Matt Fraction. Art is by Christian Ward, and the flattening is by D. Cunniff? Cunniffe? I apologize. That's a name I can't figure out in this state. But I'm actually pairing this with a Crown Royal Cask 16 Canadian whiskey. Which, if you're interested, it's gonna run you around $100 a fifth.
Sure.
Now, this whiskey is, it's a blended whiskey. It's a 40% alcohol by volume. The reason I'm pairing these two together is that this book and this whiskey are a couple things where you may not necessarily just want to jump into. If you're just the average casual reader, casual drinker. However, the book and the whiskey are both something that everyone should try. But don't plan on getting through either one of them very fast. Because these are things to savor. These are things to go back and read a couple times over. And, don't worry about if you're spending a couple bucks on it. Just grab it, sit back and enjoy. And better yet, repeat. There's a lot there. There's a lot there in the book. There's a lot there in the whiskey. They're both very complex. Enjoy them. I wanted to review this. I didn't even know where to start. There's just so much there. So I'm going to go drink some more Cask 16 and reread this book again. And then maybe when issue 2 comes out, I'll have a good enough comprehension where I can talk about it and not sound like an idiot. Or I'll just be really drunk.
Oh God, now that we're talking about it, I'm like, God, I'm happy I didn't pick it up.
Yeah, so.
Because I went through George Lopez's Sirens. Like about halfway through there, I'm like, I'm too dumb.
Oh, wait, no, no, no. George Perez.
George Perez.
Yeah, George Lopez is a terrible comedian. Oh. Yeah.
Oh my god.
I'm losing my shit now.
I felt dumb reading that book. I felt really dumb reading it. I have it. I sold my to-read pile. Maybe one day I'll read it and be like, wow, this is great. And I can understand it.
Well, if you want to feel smart, go to a George Lopez stand-up routine. All right. By the way, guys, Booze in a Book is once again brought to you by inkwhiskey.com. If you are looking for presents for somebody for Christmas, and they even have the slightest bit of nerd in them,
go for our Christmas.
For our Christmas too, yeah, they can buy. Like, if you're looking for anybody's Christmas present, ours, you know, go buy them a flask from inkwhiskey.com because they look like the old NES cartridges with Drunk Hunt, Castle Vodka, Super Bar Hop Bros. I'm forgetting some
metal beer,
yeah, and Legend of a Drink. So, go buy them, inkwhiskey.com. Love these guys, and I guarantee you will love them too. So, last call, Kevin. Did you have anything else that you really wanted to bring up?
No, I pretty much...
You blew your load
earlier? I mentioned it earlier, but letter 44, number 12.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I only actually have two other books that I read this week that really deserve a mention. One is Dead Letters, number 6 from Boom Studios. And I've talked about this one before. It's very deep and very awesome. And goddamn, that artwork by Chris Visions. Holy shit.
That's pretty clever, man.
I want original pages from this. I want a lot and a lot and a lot of original pages from this. The last one then is Wayward. From Image, number 4. Jim Zub has really done a good job at creating a really fun story that has a lot of depth without getting too deep, if that makes any sense at all. It's good, sheer entertainment. Smart entertainment, but you don't have to be like really involved in it to get the full enjoyment out of it. And I love that. So, good escapism, I guess, is probably the best way of putting it. So, all right, that does it for everything I need to talk about this
week. So much for this being a short show. Yeah, we'll get pound this out fast.
Yeah,
shut up.
All right, let's get some more beers and.
No more beers. No more. No mas.
All right, keep reading your comics, guys. We'll be back next week to talk to you more about them then.
See ya.
See ya. I got a twofer for you.